Hello once again, and as I indicated a little bit earlier, we're going to be talking about the election results yesterday in our region. I'm joined by St. Louis Public Radio political reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum to take a look at yesterday's election results. Ferguson, of course, is the big story, and I know, Jason, that that's the one that you are heavily involved in covering. Tell us about it.
Well, I think that the banner headline is that two African Americans were added to the largely white council. And that's significant because Ferguson city government has received a lot of criticism nationally and here for not being very diverse in city government despite being two-thirds black. But I think that that doesn't tell the whole story because you had this situation where a lot of outside groups and a lot of protester activist groups got behind certain candidates. They got behind Ella Jones, Bob Hudgens, and Lee Smith, and only Ella Jones ended up winning. Wesley Bell and Brian Fletcher, who were not favorites of the protest activist community, won pretty handily, I would say, despite the fact that their opponents got some financial resources. And, you know, there's a lot of takeaways you can take from that. I mean, these council people are going to have a large task ahead of them, picking up the pieces after the months of the unrest. But one thing that I think hasn't been said is I think this is a huge victory for the mayor of Ferguson, James Knowles III, because he basically has two people who are not necessarily allies, but are certainly going to be more favorable to him than Smith or Hudgens were. And I think it puts a death knell or a very serious question of whether he can get recalled. I think that was going to be a tough task anyways, but it kind of shows that, you know, he still has a little bit of political muscle left in him.
You see it that way, Joe?
Yeah, and see, I had interviewed the candidates. Jason and I had split up the candidates a few weeks ago, and I interviewed all the candidates in the first ward. Of course, Ella Jones was one of them. Her endorsement by some of these groups came very late. For a while, they were taking no endorsement in the first. She does have some Democratic ties. My point being, it's not that she grew out of the protest community either. So I think it will be interesting to see how the new council lines up with some of the dissidents and some of the groups that have been seeking certain changes. I agree with Jason. I think a lot of the changes that they've been seeking won't happen. There may be some changes and some compromise, but it's not going to be the wholesale overhaul that some were advocating.
And even like the distinctions that that's true about which candidates were supported by protester activist groups and who weren't, even that's nuanced. Like Wesley Bell, although he was not supported by a lot of those groups, I wouldn't classify.
An incumbent.
He was not an incumbent. Yeah. All three of the people are new. And I wouldn't classify him as quote-unquote pro-police because
correct.
When you talk with him, you know, he's had some experiences with the county police that were uncomfortable. And I think that all the candidates are willing to do something to change the police department. But one thing that has to be hammered home, especially to national observers, is none of the people that won want to disband the Ferguson Police Department. And without really support from the council, it's highly unlikely that they're going to be able to actually accomplish that goal, especially if they have to bring it to the vote of the people. So,
yeah, and Ella Jones's big message was trying to do something economically about downtown and trying to help the merchants rebuild. So I think that the new council, I wouldn't be surprised if their focus is more economic than some of the other issues that some want to press.
Certainly that election yesterday has gotten a lot of attention. I mean, we heard on the networks this morning, both television and radio, it's a big story.
I'm partially responsible for that because I did something for Morning Edition on it. But, I mean, it got unprecedented media attention. A lot of these local races for St. Louis County municipalities get very little attention locally, especially council races. Sometimes mayoral races get kind of a mention, but it's kind of one of the quandaries or problems with having so many municipalities in the sense that even though a lot of these elections are very important and actually affect a lot of people's lives, there's just no way for like the media to cover all the races very intensely.
Turnout yesterday in Ferguson was a little bit better than throughout the rest of the county and the metropolitan area for that matter.
Yes, and that was late.
Yeah.
That was late in the day. At around noon or 1 o'clock, what I was getting from the county was that it was bad everywhere.
Well, but it was raining. That was an issue.
Well,
the weather was not good.
Yeah, well, the weather started changing right around early afternoon. But it does bolster some of the stereotypes about Democratic turnout. Democratic turnout tends to be later in the day because you're more often many of the base voters tend to be have blue collar jobs or jobs where they're working 7 to 3 or whatever, and they can't get off and just show up until 4 at the polls. So the fact that there was a strong surge later in the day showed that you had a lot of traditional Democratic voters turn out. But also it did show that these groups, all their door-to-door efforts did pay off some. Even if their favorite candidates didn't win, they did get the electorate in Ferguson, at least in general, energized.
Yeah.
And that's important. I mean, I think as part of the Ferguson story, getting people interested in participation is a big thing.
I mean, it was almost 30%, which is huge for an April election. Now, think about it. 70% of the registered voters stayed home, so it's not perfect. But still, it's a lot better than what you saw in many other parts of the county.
Yeah, and you're not going to see a situation where a lot of these city council races get an infusion of national money and organizations. So, I mean, that is a big variable to point out.
Sure. Joe, other headlines from yesterday?
Yeah, I personally think that in the long term, but meaning several few years, is that the biggest thing that happened yesterday was Kevin O'Leary, the former bar owner, winning the county council seat in the 6th District, which is in South County. I think that sends a very strong signal about the strength of new county executive Steve Stenger. Stenger, when he narrowly won election to the county executive in November, actually lost his home district of the 6th District. The fact that within a few months, Democrats were able to turn that around, get a candidate. I mean, O'Leary hasn't run for anything before. The fact that they were able to get their candidate to win by 54% in a district that, frankly, many Republicans and some Democrats privately had assumed would be a Republican snag yesterday. I'm sure there's a lot of Republican operatives around the region who are very disappointed because they had thought that they had a chance to snag that district, demonstrate some additional Republican muscle in the county, which only 20 years ago used to be a Republican stronghold, pretty much, and to put some pressure on Stenger on various issues. Now Stenger is in a very strong position because he's got 4 reliable Democratic votes in the 7-member council, whether or not Hazel Irby votes with him or not. And the 2 Republicans who run there often vote with him, but the point being is they're gravy, you know. Stenger has taken several actions unrelated to the election within the last week, but I think one of the untold stories is that this vote on Tuesday is going to change the narrative among many Democrats and some Republicans as they look at Stenger.
Yeah, and I think that it's a huge missed opportunity for the Republicans because the Republicans have not fared well in the county in the last decade or so. They used to actually control the county council, and now they've lost the 2 seats they could conceivably win. This was an election they probably should have done better with, but you know, their organization skills are not very good as showcased here and in some other elections in St. Louis County. I don't really know what's going to be a wake-up call for that party unless they maybe get better at organizing around certain candidates. I think that the Democrats in St. Louis County are going to be in charge for a long time.
Yeah, because special elections generally are Republican forte, because their voters are more reliable to turn out. They don't have to be pressured as much to turn out. And the fact that in the 6th, as I said, Rick Stream carried it in November. Mm-hmm. So the Republicans thought they were in the driver's seat, and they weren't.
Maybe they'll be energized somewhat by the national election, but that's
possibly.
But that's 2 years away.
It cuts both ways because that energizes a lot of Democratic voters that usually don't vote in midterm elections, especially in South County. So that cuts both ways.
Yeah, and it means that Republican Tony Pasusa, this is his 3rd loss in just a few years. This likely will mean it'll be difficult for him to come back.
Not much time left. I did want to point to St. Louis City. Of course, the election there was actually a couple of weeks ago for all intents and purposes.
Correct.
Except for the aldermanic president.
Correct. Lewis Reed, as expected, won. As you mentioned, most of the key races were a month ago for the Democratic primary because the city of St. Louis is so overwhelmingly Democratic. There was a couple interesting things in the second ward. Which really intrigued me was the Democratic incumbent won, but only got about less than two-thirds of the vote. Now, that may sound like, well, that's still a lot. Not in the city of St. Louis. There were several aldermen who managed to only get in the 60s or mid-70% of the vote against Green Party candidates. And I think this could signal that the Green Party is really starting to show some muscle
or
in the city.
Could showcase dissatisfaction because Flowers only won her election by 5 votes, which means that a lot of people voted against her and maybe they decided to vote for the Green Party as a protest vote. The other one you mentioned is the 20th Ward race with Kara Spencer. There was an independent candidate that was actually spending money and organizing, but it wasn't enough. She won.
But still, I mean, it does show – 15 years ago, you wouldn't have seen this, is my point.
Sure. Interesting. East St. Louis, there was a mayoral's race there yesterday, Jason?
Yeah, there was. It was a strange race because the incumbent was kicked off the ballot and forced to run as a write-in candidate. I think his name is Alvin Parks.
Yes, that's true.
I'm from Illinois, but I don't know everybody's name by heart.
What?
He had engendered a lot of animosity because he'd been defending nightclubs there being open at all hours. He actually encountered the animosity of U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, an East St. Louis native, and he ended up losing to a I don't want to say a newcomer because I don't know a lot about the person that won, but he ended up losing.
Only a few seconds left. Is there anything else that we should be mentioning?
The St. Charles mayor.
St. Charles mayor's race, yeah.
Yes. Sally Faith won re-election handily, and that's very intriguing. Also, the Florissant incumbent mayor won handily. So you had if you recall, the Mr. Paul in Ellisville.
Adam Paul was a winner.
He was a winner, won re-election handily. So you had a number of mayors who had good days yesterday.
Let me direct our audience for more information on the election yesterday. Turn to our website at stlpublicradio.org.
Good call.
Joe Maness and Jason Rosenbaum, thank you so much for being with us. Tomorrow in St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about reading in libraries in advance of Drop Everything and Read Day this Sunday. We'll talk with a local author and librarian about her book examining humorous tales at the library, about the organization of Ready Readers, and more. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.